Can you remember the last time you realized you were lost? The sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach. Most people relate this to a childhood experience. I remember a trip to Tesco's, which turned sour when I realized my mum had disappeared. I can recall the tannoy announcement, "Will Ben's mum please come to the customer services desk to collect her son?" I must have been reluctant to reveal my surname to strangers. That was good parenting. Realising the absence of a parent is probably the greatest distress a child can imagine. There is no greater example of this than in Jesus' crucifixion. By verse 27, Jesus has already been flogged. Roman floggings weren't a light beating. They were so severe, some prisoners died before crucifixion. Having already been humiliated, mocked and beaten by the Jewish leaders, Jesus now faces the same ordeal from the Gentiles. Complete rejection. Verses 27 to 31, Jesus is first mocked by a company of Roman soldiers. A whole company would be up to 600 men, all of whom pretty much hated the Jews. So it's a highly oppressive and explosive situation, not just three or four soldiers having a laugh. After Jesus' mock enthronement, the scene moves to the ultimate in physical torture. Verse 33, Jesus is brought to Golgotha to be executed. Matthew doesn't dwell on the horror of being crucified. Verse 35 is brief and factual. But we can rest assured that after this ordeal, Jesus is in excruciating agony. And for what charge? Verse 37, for being Jesus, the King of the Jews. And as every part of society taunts Jesus in verses 38 to 44, Matthew emphasizes Jesus' complete rejection by everyone, all of us. The temptation to exploit his status as Son of God must be really powerful here, to indeed step down and save himself. But Jesus has faced temptation before, both in the wilderness and in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is amazing to think that even as he hangs on the cross, he faces the temptation to abort his mission. In verse 40, as one writer notes, the mockery of those who pass by carries a sinister echo of Satan's words to Jesus in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God. But it's because Jesus is the Son of God, he cannot step down. As we move into verse 45, Matthew shifts focus away from those who've rejected the Christ and condemned the innocent one onto Jesus himself. If we think for a moment that the pain and the suffering endured at the trial and his crucifixion are Jesus' ultimate punishment, then we are wrong. Jesus, silent to now, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The ultimate punishment for the punished Saviour, abandonment by his Father. Never before in all of eternity has Jesus been separated from his Father, but here for the first time, as Jesus walks the valley of the shadow of death and needs his Father the most, Jesus finds himself alone. My God, there is no Father in those words. Here we see the true brokenness of their relationship. And surely we want to ask why. Why God has forsaken his Son, his blameless, pure and innocent Son, rejected wrongly and condemned unjustly by men. Well, our answer comes from understanding what Jesus has become as he hangs on the cross. It comes from understanding the aim, the objective, the true mission of the Christ. The promised king spoken of through the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows exactly how Isaiah 53 verse 4 plays out. His mission. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Or in Jesus' own words, Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus knows he is now drinking the cup of God's wrath down to the dregs, and it must have been unbearable, but he bore it, because without it we would have to do it, and he loves us too much for that. The rejected Christ had to be the condemned innocent, because otherwise his death would only have paid for his debt. Instead, Jesus pays ours, hanging on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the sins of the guilty who will trust in him. At the cross, Jesus became sin for us. He became repulsive to the holy God, who poured out his wrath in judgment on sin onto Jesus. At the cross, we take on Jesus' perfect righteousness. Turning to Jesus, we become perfect like him in God's eyes, welcomed into the loving arms of a heavenly Father. We are loved that much. Jesus walked the valley of the shadow of death alone, that we might be able to say those words of Psalm 23, verse 4 ourselves: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Jesus did that willingly. Verse 50, Jesus wasn't, isn't, had never been a reluctant participant. He gave up his spirit as an act of will. Even in his death, Jesus is fully in control. Can we be sure it's mission accomplished? Well, come on Easter Sunday. Well, don't come on Easter Sunday, watch us on Easter Sunday. But we don't have to wait that long. For here at the cross on Good Friday, verse 51, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain that symbolises separation of a holy God from an unholy people is torn in two. God and men reconciled, brought back together. As the writer to the Hebrews puts it in chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings. Full assurance that faith brings. That only Jesus could do what Jesus did. That only through Jesus can we come to God. Through Jesus' death alone, we have hope. Jesus, the punished saviour. Ponder for a moment now in silence, for the last time, have you grasped the power of the cross, where the punished Saviour died and God saved us from himself?